Hi, guys. How are you? I know I have to kind of yell in this microphone, and I'm so glad that you're chatting and enjoying yourself. I know that probably a barbecue brunch might not have been on your plans today, but we appreciate you guys joining us. So this next 45 minutes, about 50 minutes, we're just going to spend focusing a little bit on loving well. As believers in Christ, as community group leaders, we just want to give you a little bit of training and a little bit of focus on how we can love others well, especially as community group leaders. So I guess you guys are like 3 or 4 weeks in now? Something like that? Oh, I heard a 5. Okay, fantastic. We're excited. Our team has been praying for you guys to have great connection, great communication, and just a fabulous time loving on your people. And so thank you so much for what you do. And we are going to have, in just a moment, I'm going to pray before we get started, but we are going to have Will Blanchard from our training center come and share a little bit about what it looks like to love well. And then we're going to have Dan Cummings and Amy Soderquist from our counseling and care center come and share a little bit about what it looks like to do that as well. So on your tables, and there's also more over where drinks are, we have the counseling and care pamphlets. It's just great to have on hand if there are people in your group that need a little extra step, that's a great resource to just put in your pocket. So if there's not enough on the tables, you can grab some back here at the table where the drinks are. Feel free. There's still more food out there. Restrooms here. You guys, just this is kind of a lunch and learn. So feel free to get what you need and keep eating. So I'm going to open us up in a little word of prayer real quick. Father God, we just come to you and we praise you for who you are. And we are grateful that we have a space that we can come and be encouraged and learn about you and be challenged to love well to another. And so we just ask that you teach us, that you speak to us. And in result, Father, we give you all the glory. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Will, thank you so much. Come on up.
Well, welcome. Appreciate the opportunity to spend a few minutes with you guys, just unpacking what it looks like to love well. Want to just start off by letting you know, greetings from the training center. I don't know how many of you guys in the room are familiar with the training center here at Fellowship. I think a lot of times the training center is associated just with the classroom experience, which is a really, really valuable resource that we've got here at Fellowship. In fact, we encourage every leader here at Fellowship to take advantage of 10 core trainings that we offer in your time here that are really focused on equipping you to lead in life and ministry more effectively. But there are actually 3 other divisions to the training center that sometimes fly under the radar here at Fellowship. One of those divisions is our Global Outreach Division, headed up by Brian Pope, that oversees all of our global workers that are effectively reaching the nations with the Gospels. Another one of our divisions is led by Chip Jackson, our director, who oversees the partnerships that Fellowship has with both churches and nonprofits and military leaders. In fact, over the last several years, Fellowship, just as a way of being a hidden multiplier, has served over 300 churches and organizations around the country, helping them develop clarity around mission, vision, and strategy. And so that's an extension of just the generosity that takes place here at Fellowship. But the latest division at the Training Center is that of church planting and multiplication, led by yours truly. And so part of our task is to develop strategies for every congregation here at Fellowship to become a multiplying church planting congregation, and what that means for Benton and Washington counties and beyond over the next 5, 10, 15 years, we really anticipate what God's going to do in and through the leaders here at Fellowship. But just before we dive into this conversation around loving well, I want to consider something for just a moment. And this idea, as you know, sometimes we sort of struggle with the language of, are we coming out of the pandemic? Are we still in the pandemic? Is it going to circle back around? And not sometimes even knowing the right language to use. But just consider for a moment, as we'll say we're coming out of a pandemic, what would you consider is the primary leadership platform for Fellowship Bible Church? The primary platform in which the mission and vision of Fellowship is lived out. Community groups. Man, you guys are sharp. No, it is. It is. It's the people in this room. This is the primary leadership platform for Fellowship Bible Church. That our mission and vision, the idea that we could be a group of believers that transforms the heart and soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world. And we do that every time we produce and release the next spiritual leader who knows and expresses the authentic Christ. That takes place, that rises and falls on the effectiveness and the obedience of leaders just like you. And so when we come to a conversation like, how do we love well? I can't think of a more strategic group of people at Fellowship to wrestle or grapple with that question than our community group leaders. Because the ways in which we live and love like Jesus has an impact all across Benton and Washington counties and beyond. And so rather than just sort of dream up maybe our own ways of, well, how do I think we should live and love well? I'd like to propose that this afternoon that we take a look at the leadership of Jesus Christ, who, by all estimations, whether you're a believer or not, was an effective leader, particularly in the areas of loving people well. And so it was kind of interesting, through the pandemic, my wife and I, and this kind of bled over into even our training center team, one of the things that we wanted to take an opportunity to do, and we took about 12 months to do this, was just look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and to look at the leadership of Jesus through the lens of a leadership lens. And so one of the things we started to do is look at every little interaction that Jesus had with individuals in the New Testament. And we grabbed a legal pad and we just started to jot down what was the primary thing that Jesus was doing in those leadership contexts. What was the driving thing that he was either trying to instill or pass on or do in the life of another human being in that moment? And so it started out with lots of categories, but we noticed as we looked at the leadership of Jesus, there were four distinctives that started to emerge with his leadership. And so this morning, I want to propose those to you. Can we go to the next slide? And I was kind of thinking this TV might be on, so every now and then I might look back behind my shoulder. But these four distinctives of the leadership of Jesus that I think was such an incredible model for what it looks like to lead and love people well. The very first distinctive that started to emerge as we looked at the leadership of Jesus in the gospel was this idea that Jesus revealed the heart of the Father. In every conversation, in every interaction, there was this element in which his whole sort of purpose was to reveal to people what the heart and the character of God the Father really looked like. And so there were times where Jesus was correcting people, that they had a faulty view of what God's expectations were for their life. They had a faulty view of what God's view of other people looked like. And so Jesus was correcting. Then there were other times, other leadership interactions where as Jesus was revealing the heart of the Father, he was illuminating another leader's life for the very first time who understood who God was. But over and over again, interaction after interaction, Jesus' leadership seemed to be defined by revealing the heart of the Father. You know, if we just press pause for a second and make this sort of application deeply personal, think about the greatest value add your life brings to your marriage, to your parenting, to your grandparenting, maybe even in your leadership in the marketplace or a ministry or a nonprofit. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I would argue that the greatest value add you could bring to any relationship is when your life reveals the heart and the character of God to another person. And so for me, this was so inspiring and encouraging and convicting that it literally has changed the way that oftentimes I approach meetings. It's changed the way that I approach going home in the evenings. That so often I was focused previously on the value add that I thought I brought through what I did as opposed to who I revealed. And so I don't get it right many days of the week, but this truth has changed the way even when I pull into the garage in the evening and I've processed the day a few minutes on the drive home and I reach for the door in our garage leading into the laundry room, into the house, I'm thinking, God, would your empowering presence fill my life in such a way that I could reveal your character and your heart to three little girls who desperately need your leadership in their life. And God, as I walk into the laundry room, could you use my life to reveal your heart, your character to Sarah, my wife? Or think of it in a community group context. Could perhaps this week, the greatest value add that you would bring to your community is a heart that is aligned and is saturated and is defined by the character of God because you are abiding in Him. And so it wouldn't be the greatest value add is are the principles that I'm going to teach my group this week or the dinner that I'm going to provide or the atmosphere that I'll create in my living room, although all those things are important. But as leaders, could we be men and women that are as committed to revealing the heart of the Father as Jesus was during his earthly ministry on planet Earth? So that was the first characteristic that defined Jesus' leadership. There's a natural progression to these as we unpack them together. They're not in any necessarily sequential order, and yet they do seem to build. Because another distinctive or characteristic to the leadership of Jesus was his commitment to investing in the healing and the development of other people. You see, it was almost like the leadership of Jesus, as you start to categorize these interactions that he had with people, was always others-focused. That in whether it was an interaction with a woman at the well or with an officer in the Roman army or a woman who had been plagued by bleeding for years, there seemed to be this incredible emphasis that Jesus placed on the healing and the development of other people. That his leadership was never about him or amassing a team to serve him, but rather literally the Son of God came to planet Earth to serve other people, to lay his life down for others. Just consider for a moment how Northwest Arkansas would be transformed and is being transformed when dozens of leaders start to live with an others-focused mindset. It wasn't about Jesus. Rather, he came to seek and save those who were lost. And how could this transform a culture of community here at Fellowship? When we have leaders striving to reveal the heart of the Father, focused on the healing and the development of people around them. You know, during the pandemic, my wife and I, we really kind of took some of this to heart. And as things were shutting down, we just said, how do we take responsibility for Greenstone Drive, the street that we live on? And God produced some incredible opportunities for us. In fact, we were able, as things were shutting down, to live in community with a Mormon family across the street who actually came to us and said, hey, our church has no means of communicating or teaching or equipping the body right now. Do you have something for us? And we said, hey, you want to worship with us on Saturday night as we watch Fellowship Mosaic live stream? And they said, yes. And that led to a neighbor next door to us that were in a similar situation. And before you knew it, some community without a program or even without a lot of effort suddenly began to blossom and emerge. And our focus came to revealing the heart of the Father and focusing on the healing and the development of the people God had put right in front of us. There was a third characteristic to Jesus's life and ministry. And that was this idea that he established a culture of multiplication, of producing and releasing leaders. And so it's kind of interesting, and I love to kind of nerd out on some of this stuff because I just think the leadership of Jesus is so remarkable and incredible. But if you were to take a pie chart and to map out the time spent for Jesus in his 3 years of earthly ministry, all the miraculous signs and wonders and healings, and sometimes the thing that really gets sort of the focus is are the things that you go, wow. But if you really looked at the way that Jesus spent the majority of his time, it was with a small group of leaders. There was 12, but even amongst those 12, there were three or four that he poured his life into in such a way that they could receive that mission and multiply it. And I will never get over the fact, I still to this day stand in awe of the fact that 2,000 years later, we're gathering in Northwest Arkansas, living out that original mission that Jesus instilled to a small group of leaders. And so he was a master at establishing a culture of multiplication that was producing and releasing leaders. And that's where this leadership platform of Fellowship Bible Church is lived out. It's when we engage in that same awe-inspiring process. But then fourthly, a fourth sort of hallmark or characteristic to the life and the leadership of Jesus Christ was this idea that he did everything for the glory of God the Father. That nothing was motivated by selfish ambition, but rather it was all focused on giving all the glory and honor and praise and focused on who God the Father was. And what an incredible way to live and to lead. And so I just wanted this morning to present to you the leaders of Fellowship Bible Church, this model of the leadership of Jesus, because I think when we consider something like, how do I lead and love like Jesus, or how do we love well, I can't think of a better model to go to than the leadership of Jesus Christ. Because out of a life that is aligned with Jesus will flow opportunities to lead and to love others well. In ways that actually, you know, I would probably almost contrast to this model is that sort of frantic desire to, we've got to figure out how to love people well. And we just start to do a bunch of stuff with the attempt of pure motives, but the end result is we actually don't love well or lead well. But rather, if as leaders, in the midst of a very divisive, pain-filled, sometimes aggressive culture, could we press pause and go, God, how could your empowering presence fill our lives in such a way that the leadership that we have in homes and neighborhoods and businesses all across Northwest Arkansas, could it flow from your perfect model? And this week, could we commit to being leaders that live and love like Jesus and are focused on revealing the heart of the Father, providing an opportunity to heal and develop other people, allowing a culture of multiplication to flow naturally, and do it all for the glory of God? You know, the remarkable thing is, we're never called to do these things alone. In fact, today's gathering is a reflection of the togetherness that we've been invited into. And to think that here at Fellowship Bible Church, God has given us resources like the Training Center that are willing to come alongside and sharpen and serve. That God's given a team of community pastors here to help hold the arms up of community group leaders. And then additionally, God's provided a care and a counseling center here at Fellowship to come alongside and to serve leaders so that together we can live and love like Jesus. And so this morning, I'd love to turn things over to Dan and Amy as we focus in specifically on this aspect of Jesus' leadership that was focused on the healing and the development of other people. You got a mic, Dan? Okay.
There we go.
Yep. Well, good morning. That was pretty weak. Good morning. Okay, thank you. I know it's 11 and you've had food, but hey, let's be excited. Here's a handout I forgot to put on the table. Just take maybe one per couple. So I'm Dan Cummins. I know a lot of you, but as I look out across the crowd, I don't know more of you than I know. Does that make sense? My wife and I moved down here from Illinois 22 years ago, lived in Rogers for 15 years, and I worked in the vendor community. And then 7 years ago, actually 8 years ago, I went to work for Fellowship as a Springdale community pastor, so we moved down to Springdale. So we've seen both Rogers and Springdale over our course of time here. I left the vendor community, went back to school, got a degree in counseling, and here I am. And so I'm going to introduce Amy Soderquist, who's the veteran counselor on our team.
Hi, I'm Amy, and I have been counseling here at Fellowship since 1997. Went to John Brown University for my master's degree, well, actually undergrad and master's. I live in Siloam. My husband and I have led community groups since 94 in Siloam Springs. Sometimes I laugh about the whole getting your like non-fellowship people into your community group, because in Siloam we have to do that. There's not enough of us, so we have done neighborhood groups or just common circle groups, community group for a long time. But yes, it is a joy to be here and to get to be a part of your morning.
Thanks, Amy. And I think that's a good point. And in addition to being on staff, my wife and I have led a community group for 35 years. So, I mean, we see what you guys deal with. We've seen what you guys deal with. We see it from the side of the community group leader, the side of the need, you know, for pastoral support sometimes, and even the need for counseling maybe at times for you or someone in your group. We're doing a study with some of the fellows here in the group or in my study. I call it my old guy's Bible study because I happen to be the youngest one there, which is awesome. I love it. It's awesome. And we're doing the study of the Gospel of Luke, but we're using a book called Luke for You by Mike McKinley. And here was a quote that I came across when I was doing the study this week. Jesus still involves his people in the work of the ministry, giving us more resources than we need so that we can have the joy of caring for others. I'm going to read that one more time because I just thought that was pretty profound. Jesus is still involving his people in the work of the ministry, giving us more resources than we need so that we can have the joy of caring for others. So this is when the disciples had been sent out and they came back and they were reporting to Jesus all the things that they'd seen and done. And that's kind of like, we're here for training and we're going to go out and deal in the community with our community groups, with folks in the workplace. What have we seen and done that's going to help us manage that time together? So the other thing that Will and I talked about in preparation for this, this is my personal opinion. Amy may or may not agree, but I think she probably does. I think most of the things that people come to counseling for could be addressed if they had a solid community around them. If you're in a men's group, if you're in a women's group, if you're in a community group, I think that most of the issues that people come to counseling for could be addressed there. Having the support of that group, having the prayers of that group, having the experiences that are joined in that group, losses, illnesses, you know, marriage breakups, whatever it might be, most people in your group have dealt with something like that. And if you're there for them as a leader, and they're there for you for that matter, as a community group member, you probably don't need counseling, but sometimes you do. So we're going to talk about that today. I had the handout that John just passed out. It's from a ministry that's a counseling and kind of like ministry combination called Hope for the Heart. June Hunt, that's down in Plano, Texas. She's been doing this for 35 years. And this handout, it could be a little intimidating when you first look at it, because right out of the gate, it talks about suicide and what you can do or what you might have to deal with in a group in somebody's life. But just kind of an overview, when you're trying to help someone, especially someone you know and love, you might will feel overwhelmed, hesitant, or confused about how to best help. It can be beneficial to consider what to do and what not to do when trying to help. So she lists 13 do's and don'ts. And again, there's three focused on suicide because this came out during September, which was Suicide Awareness Month. Hopefully you never have to deal with that. after 4 years of doing this in counseling and 8 years of doing ministry and a lifetime of interacting with people, I've only had to deal with that with somebody 3 times. And so hopefully you'll never have to deal with that, but this gives you some pointers in case you ever do. But there's 3 other points that I want to make in this, if you have it in front of you. Number 2, the don't is, don't feel like you have to say something or have the right answer. You just need to do, which is be present with them. Listen and know that your presence can be a comfort. Basically, you could say, we can talk if you'd like, or we'll just sit here together. Where I've seen that most, applicable is in grief. People don't know what to say to people who have lost a loved one. And oftentimes they say something that doesn't help. So if you just go there, show up, be there, sit with them, that's huge. That's huge in their healing process. And so then on down to the 7th one, don't offer quick, simple solutions like just put this behind you. Do let them know you'll help them find ongoing support, whether that's counseling or community support. You don't have to go through this alone. I'm with you. Let's find a counselor together. And then the last one I wanted to point out is the 8th one is don't give false hope or assurances. I'm sure everything will be fine soon. What you do need to do is acknowledge the reality of the situation and assure them of your support. I don't know how long you'll feel this way, but I'll be with you. And again, as I look back over the 30 years in community ministry, there's so many times that's all I did. I showed up. We had friends who lost babies, showed up. Still a tender thing, but it's just what we did. And they did the same for us. I mean, it's just one of those things that if you're there for your friends in community, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they appreciate it, and they grow as a result of that, and you grow as a result of that. So getting back to this, it's time for Amy to take the mic if she has anything to say, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. But please, you know, just whatever comes to mind or whatever you've dealt with, we'll do our best to answer it. And then if it's a more ministry focus, we might get John or Will back up here. But as a counseling, from a counseling perspective, hold those questions till Amy's finished here.
You know, as I was thinking about coming this morning, I was thinking about how sweet it is that we, after a pandemic, are beginning to come back together. But it just made me think about, so at its barest essence, when we think about trauma is any time our safety has been removed. And so you think about over the last year and a half, everybody's safety has been removed at some level. And another part of trauma that leads to isolation and loss of connection. And so we're seeing a lot of people, I mean, I counsel a lot of people in my office who are really afraid to get back involved because we've been so uninvolved. We've been sheltering at home for a significant amount of time or hiding behind our masks. I have 2 nephews that go to school in Bentonville, and they got to remove their masks this week, and they were like that. I mean, it just felt very foreign to them. And that's just true for all of us. We're entering back into something that should feel normal that no longer feels normal. And people are coming with hesitancy. And so just thinking about how do we meet them there in their hesitancy and to recognize that small T trauma, so to speak, we have all experienced in the last year and a half. And we as community group leaders just have the opportunity, to Dan's point, to just show up in their life where they're willing to meet us. So for some people, that might just be coffee. They might not be willing to come to community group and meet in a large group again. I mean, we still have 2 couples in our own group that are not ready to come back. And so it's finding other ways to show up. But also we need to tend to ourselves. So I know for myself that can feel like a lot of lunches or a lot of coffees trying to meet with all these people that maybe just feel more comfortable one-on-one or meeting outside still. So don't forget self-care. We can never lead or comfort or love somebody further than we're willing to take care of ourselves. So it's really important that our own self-care is a part of that puzzle piece also.
Thanks. Before I do open it up for Q&A, I did think another thing I need to review. I think Christy mentioned on your table there's some pamphlets from the Counseling and Care Center. Just to give you a little overview about what we do, who we are. Amy and I are 2 of the 12 counselors that are over there. We moved into that new building that you all saw go up over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. We've been there 3 years we'll be there 3 years in January. We started out with about 6, and we're up to 12 counselors, and most of them are pretty well full up in terms of their schedule. which is a good thing and a bad thing, because we also have to figure out now where do we put the next counselor and make room. But it's a blessing, as Will mentioned, to have the facility. It's a top-notch facility. We have a play therapy room if kids are coming in for therapy. But we're there at a lower cost to you than you'll find anywhere in the neighborhood, in the marketplace, because the church is covering the overhead of the building. So we can basically let counselors charge what they would net if they were paying rent somewhere else. So that's the first thing. And we do have assistance for those who can't afford it. It's limited, but it's available. And so if you have someone in your group and they're like, they don't have a job, they don't have insurance, call me, talk to me, we'll get them plugged in with somebody and we'll provide assistance there. We cover every topic and every situation, every need that you can imagine. We have a wide variety of experienced counselors with general to specific addictions counseling. Anything that you guys have come up in your group or in your own lives, you can talk to us and we can help you out and get you plugged in there. So hopefully that will help you see a little bit more about what we do. The other thing that falls under our umbrella are the support groups that we have at Fellowship, Grief Share, Divorce Care, GAP, which is grandparenting as grandparents as parents. And then we're trying to get a parenting prodigals started. And so there's many different areas that we have yet to explore, but we're trying to cover most of the bases with the personnel that we have. So with that, I'd like to open it up to questions. And if you would, say it loudly, and if no one can hear, I'll repeat it because we're going to make sure everyone can hear. Refer. Okay, good question. I'll just repeat that in case you didn't hear it. So if you want to get connected to a counselor, what's the best way to do that? And John mentioned, call me, and if the issue can be taken care of within our group, within our staff, we'll get you plugged in right away. If it's, hey, this is a specialized need, we have connections with probably 10 different offices in Northwest Arkansas. We tend to lean towards those who have a Christian worldview, obviously, because that's how we view it. And so we can get you connected to them, and we can let you know kind of the do's there as far as what it will cost. If you need help, we can assist there too. So, I mean, the assistance isn't just for coming to our office. If we refer you to someone and you or the person that you're helping needs assistance, we can provide that. Does that help, John? Thanks. Thanks, John. And I just want to say, I'll come right back to you, John, just a second. I just want to say that it's okay to go to counseling. I mean, I think there's a stigma out there, especially amongst believers, like, well, the church should help me with that, or being, you know, in communion with Christ should help me with that. And that's true. That's the basis. That's the beginning. But sometimes there are just things we can't handle. Sometimes there are just things that overwhelm us that we need professional help for. And I mean, Terry Little, who was my predecessor over there, kind of tells a story, jokingly but true, how I got connected to the counseling center at Fellowship was going to see him. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I believe in this because I've participated as a client in this, and I felt no shame. I felt relief. I felt like he was there when I needed him for the problem I needed to be addressing. So please don't ever let that prevent you from calling, because it's worth the call. John? Okay. Yeah, you can just stand on the corner up there. And, hey, Dan, and I'll be there. No, good question. So on the pamphlet, it has our primary number, which is 479-659-3657. But if you want to talk to me direct, it's 479-659-3602, and that'll go right to my desk, so I can talk to you in person that way. Justin. Right. Would you be willing to take that?
Well, first off, I thought about, I do have people who come. Like, if you referred somebody to me and they came, you would come along. Like, so for a first session, to come sit in with them in counseling if it feels scary or they're unsure of it. If you know people who've already done counseling that's willing to tell their story, I mean, honestly, people who've been in counseling who tell their story that they've been in counseling encourage people to go. So it usually is a little bit word of mouth, but also that they don't have to do it by themselves. It is a giant step. The very first time to come to counseling feels really big, but it is the first step towards change. So I don't know if going along with somebody would be helpful, but I do have people who do that.
Another thing I would suggest, and this is kind of maybe uncomfortable for some, go to CR. I mean, you'll hear stories there, and you'll hear people talking about being healed by being in that support group surrounding or actually going to see specialists themselves. Just, it's something we all deal with. You know, they talk about hurts, hang-ups, and habits at CR. Not one person in this room doesn't have one of those. It's just a matter of whether or not we're burying them or addressing them. And so I think going to CR is a great, A, way to kind of feel like, okay, I can handle my issue when I hear what some of these folks have dealt with and gained victory over. But more than that, the worship is incredible. Incredible. It's just genuine. I'm going to get emotional again. Because they are like at the bottom. And so all they got to do is look up. We're kind of like at the 30,000 foot level thinking we got it all figured out when we really don't. So I would just encourage that as one option. But she's right. Just talk to somebody that's gone, that's experienced it and said, you know what, I survived, A, I was helped, B, and they aren't that weird, because we're really not. You know, we're kind of weird, but we're not that weird, so. Other questions? Yes, Kelly. Right. Good point. Okay. Not exactly. So the question is there a direct line after hours? Now, I will say this, Monday through Wednesday, there's someone there fairly late. I mean, 7, 8 o'clock lots of times. That's not still after hours per se. But if you call my number, I have it forwarded to my cell phone. If it's an emergency, I would address it then and there. But if you're concerned for someone's safety, or your own, I would say go to the emergency room, dial 911, and I mean, that's really the best way to get that taken care of. Because even if I get called and I hear what's going on, that may be my suggestion. I mean, that's not to say do it every time, because I don't think that's probably that helpful. But if you feel like someone is literally going to hurt themselves or hurt someone else, make the call. I mean, it's difficult to say that, but it is the best thing to do. So, Any other questions? Don't be afraid. Christy. Okay, the question is, what are some of the common threads or themes, issues that you're seeing? And I'm going to defer to Amy again, because this summer I was off most of the summer because I was recovering from knee surgery, but she's been on most of the year, so.
I mean, I would say we're in a pandemic of anxiety, hands down, as far as people coming into our office. And a lot of that has to do with what I shared earlier. Everybody's sense of safety has shifted, and their coping mechanisms and the things that they used to do are not working. And so they're having a hard time finding their own sense of coping or just resettling and what that is. So anxiety is really a big one, even for people who are like, I've never really felt anxious before, and now I'm anxious. And so we are addressing a lot of that. Pretty much all 12 counselors, I think, would agree with that one. In light of that, I've been seeing an increased use of marijuana, because I do think it's calming. And so people turning to other substances in order to try to cope with just that anxiousness. And then naturally, families just being more at home together, it's amplifying family dynamics. I mean, every one of us has something that's a wounding pattern within our family or within ourselves that we're having to deal with, but that when we're all home and we're not having things that are distracting us, those are certainly coming to the surface. So just relational issues being escalated over the last year for sure.
So for those who couldn't hear, we had incidents at both the Rogers, or was it Heritage, is Rogers, and okay, and Bentonville homecoming dances or after hours kind of things. And how do you deal with that? How do you address that maybe with your kids? And the right, they do. And then at some point, it's like, where's this behavior coming from? Well, probably that anxiety that they haven't expressed to you is coming out in another way. Call us. We could get them connected with someone. If it's like, hey, I just want to, as a parent, talk to somebody, set up some time with one of us, and we can talk through that with you. We do have, as I mentioned in our counselors, we do have some children, adolescent counselors that's on our staff. They deal with everybody from the youngest is about 4 up to high school age and early college age. That would be probably a good person to talk to if you really see a lot of change in your kid's behavior and you're really concerned about that behavior. But I think, you know, over time, one thing that we'd like to do is provide some kind of resources. I mean, just this is a small example, but some resources to just community group leaders, the body of Christ, how to deal with some of those things. And that may be something that we address because of these things that have come up. You know, it's kind of like there was a lot of articles that came out around COVID anxiety. And so now this is what's the next step. So I would say probably best step, just talk to somebody and we can connect you or get you some resources to help you address it directly with your kids. Does that make sense? Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So the question is, if you have an example of someone who's, in this case, they had a loss, they came to fellowship and we referred out probably because someone was not available or we thought maybe it was a more specific need, how do or do we vet the offices we refer to? We do, but there's going to be a time that we probably send to an office, not to a specific counselor, and then we're not 100% sure about who they see, but we do our best for that. What we've tried to do over the course of the last 2 years is just add enough specialists we don't have to refer out. It's not a guarantee, but we now have added a counselor down in, some of you may know Ray Wagner that is on staff here. He's at Fellowship's campus, and we've started a kind of mini counseling center down there and added a gal that's a contracted counselor that deals specifically with grief and children's losses and that kind of thing. So if it was today, we probably would have referred to Lindsay and it wouldn't have been an issue. But that's just one of those things, unfortunately, occasionally slips through the cracks. And so I would like to hear about that when that happens, just so we can know to kind of correction of errors, as it were, and make sure that we don't go that direction the next time. So, but thanks for asking that. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So if you're kind of not sure where to go, is it time to send them to counseling? What are other resources that might be available? And then what's the availability of the counselor if you call our office? So that's going to be a case-by-case scenario, but I would say if you feel uncomfortable and ill-equipped, make that recommendation. And you could, before you make the recommendation for them to go, perhaps you can call one of our office, call our offices and talk to maybe me or one of our counselors and say, hey, here's the situation. Do you think they need counseling, without going into any details, obviously? And I could say yay or nay to that. But I would say if you're getting to the point where they're calling you, you know, maybe several times a week, or they just feel like, you just feel like they're just really suffering and really not thriving, give us a call and refer them to us. And I mean, there's whoever you want to see will depend on how soon you can see them. I mean, we have a few folks that are basically packed out right now, but we also almost always have someone that can see a client on a pretty short notice. I'm available kind of like crisis need, so I could probably see them within a day or two max. Some of them, it might be a week or so. If it's like someone that's really specialized, it could be a couple of weeks, but overall, we try to get them in within a few days to a week's period of time. So, John or Christy, are we up against the clock here? Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, Grief Share is the group that we have the most participation in, and it's been on Fellowship's campus for probably very close to 20 years. It's a 13-week program. There's video content, but the bigger issue, or the bigger help, is that you're in a small group with them processing through grief together. Divorce Care is another one. It's been at Fellowship for 15-plus years. Same thing. You go through some video content, but then the more important thing is you talk through it with folks who have experienced the same thing. The GAP I mentioned, Grandparents as Parents, there's one on the Rogers campus and there's one on the Fayetteville campus. That's if you're raising your grandchildren and you know the challenges associated with that. These folks have all been through it, and that's who leads it. Still trying to get traction with the parenting prodigals or prodigal's parents, and we haven't even got a name for it specifically, but that's one that's kind of in process but hasn't really taken off yet. And then there's lastly, there's an adopted and foster parents group that started this fall as well. So those are all meet somewhere on campus, either here or in Fayetteville, and it's just a matter of signing up. So, all right. Thank you all.
I meant earlier, I've got some gifts from the training center for you guys, and I thought maybe the best way to get these out, Master Plan of Evangelism by Coleman is probably one of the books around here at Fellowship that has shaped just the disciple-making process. Maybe right next to the Bible would probably be the thing that has shaped thought leadership around here more than any other book. So what are our two newest groups here that maybe launched this fall? We have any first-time community group leaders? Perfect. Great. There you go. That's an excellent book. If you've read it before, give it to somebody who hasn't. Who would be two leaders here that have run a marathon this year? Do we have anybody that's run a marathon in 2021? Literally. Any runners in the room? We got one? Okay. For you, we have the emotionally healthy leader. Because for you to run a marathon, you're probably not that emotionally healthy. Anybody else? We got one more. This is Pete Scazzaro's book, Emotionally Healthy Leader.
Hey, what about somebody who feels like they've run a marathon as a community group leader?
There you go.
Your community group's in a marathon.
Okay, there we go. It takes a strong person to admit they're broken. And then final, this is a book right now. We do a lot of leadership foxholes around the country with spiritual leaders. And one book that's gaining a lot of traction right now is by Crawford Loritz, and it's Leadership as an Identity. What two groups here have produced and released the most groups? Produced and released the most leaders in a healthy way. Not you ran a bunch of people off. You made some disciples and they went out and made another group.
Hey, if your group's released another leader or another group, or if you've been released out of a group, raise your hand. Yeah, yeah.
You got a couple over at this table? Okay. What we got, right here? Okay, great. Keep it up. Thanks, John.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Are you done? Okay. No more giveaways. All right. Hey, let's tell them thank you. So this was Christy's idea to have them up. I'm so glad she did because oftentimes you don't get to hear about the strategicness of what's going on outside of fellowship through our church. And that's exactly what Will does and Chip does and Nick used to do. And now he's with Mosaic. And so what's really cool is these guys are meeting with people all over the country. And they've implemented our planning system with churches, nonprofit organizations all over the country. And then what's really cool is Will's on staff here to help us plant or partner with multiplying churches. So like Bentonville, we announced the church launch the other day. I don't know if they did it in service or not, but the 27th of February, 2022, Bentonville will start. And so that means all the people that are going to go to the Bentonville church will be away from this campus. But that's not the end. That's really just the beginning, because what we're going to do is we're going to start partnering with and planting these multiplying churches. We've done a little bit already. Will's going to help us do it even more. Hopefully, some of those churches will start out of these community groups that are in this room. God may lead a couple or two to start a church in this area or somewhere else. And so part of Will's job is to help make that happen. So we're super excited about that. And then having the resources of the counseling center is huge. So many churches, when I share about what we have, are incredibly, I don't know if jealous is the right word, but they're envious of what we have. And so we're so blessed. And then ladies, if you need someone to talk to besides Dan, Amy's incredible. Her and Jeff are fellowship through and through. Like they've done everything here. They've raised their kids here. You just launched a son to college. And so she's just an incredible wealth of knowledge and wisdom and empathy, and so she would be happy to partner as well, and they've led community groups for years, just like she said. So just feel free to call on them, reach out to them, reach out to us. We have tons of resources here at Fellowship. Let me ask you a question. We'll end with this. How does a church survive a pandemic? One day at a time, that's right. How does a church survive, possibly even thrive during a pandemic? Yeah. You see, it's by released spiritual leaders, released spiritual ministers. I'm teaching in a couple of weeks coming up, and one of the words in the passage is the word minister. And if you look in the Greek, it's actually the word that Sam talked about this morning, diakonos or diakonos, which is, if you translate it, that's deacon or servant. And honestly, that's what you all are. You're the servants of this church. You're the spiritual leaders of this church. And how a church survives a pandemic, and I watched it happen, and at times I felt like we did a decent job, and at times I felt like we, as a leadership, did a really poor job in trying to help you all, but you all thrived. you produced spiritual leaders and you released spiritual leaders and you who knew the authentic Christ and could express the authentic Christ. And that's exactly what you did. We know this year's been hard. We know it's been challenging. And so my challenge for you as you go forward is let's be an empathetic leadership, an empathetic church. And what that does is when you be less concerned about what you're concerned about and be more concerned about Jesus. And so if you're like me, like I've got an opinion on the mask. I've got opinions on politics. I've got lots of opinions on lots of things. And what I've learned to do through the pandemic is say, hey, that's secondary. And what's primary is just providing a listening ear, telling somebody, that's so hard that happened. I'm so sorry that happened. And rather than having an opinion about something, it's just loving someone and inviting. And then let's continue to invite the outside world into Jesus through these things called community groups. And we appreciate you all so much for leading. We appreciate you through surviving Zoom and surviving just everything we've been through. And so, and the cool thing is, and this is so encouraging, is we sat down as a leadership team, and we've got a board with all your names on it, and you've got a coach, and we looked at it, and there's just as many, if not more, groups this year than there was last year. And that's in the context of a pandemic. And I'm telling you, I'm in a cohort down at Dallas Theological Seminary, and it's amazing that the stories shared by these pastors and the wounds shared by these pastors, I don't have. And it's because of you all. It's the released ministry. It's that we were able to go on as a church. It's this thing called small groups or micro churches or mini churches. My kids keep calling me. And so what's really funny is one of their rings out loud regardless, so they must have programmed that on my phone. and do not disturb. So we're just so grateful for you all. And we're so encouraged, coming off a really hard time, we're so encouraged, and as we brainstormed why we're encouraged, it's because of you all. And it's the new faces and the new leadership. We're so encouraged. And so, and the multiplying of the Bentonville campus is going to be a challenge. We're going to need people to serve in all kinds of different ways. But we're so excited about the future, and it feels so good to be together. Hey, let me pray for us as we end. Lord, we're grateful we get to do this. We're grateful that we have people who will show up, who will lead, who will serve. Lord, we're grateful for the resources we have, like the counseling center and the training center. Lord, we're grateful that you seem to be moving in Northwest Arkansas. We're grateful for the people moving in here. And we pray that you would guide us as we're trying to figure out how to be good stewards and we can invite people in. And Lord, we pray that you would receive all the glory. You would receive all the honor from everything done at Fellowship Bible Church. And that, Lord, we really would be a church that exists and would have people who exist in the neighborhoods and in the workplaces that could bring honor and glory to you. And that, Lord, you would help us to be strategic as we figure out how to reach the new and the lost and the de-churched or unchurched, Father, in Northwest Arkansas. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, one last thing. So this is our second meeting of the semester. Your third meeting of the semester will be organized by your coach. So it'll be kind of a coach's huddle. And then that'll be it for the semester. And we'll kick off groups again in January as far as just leadership activities. Thank you all.